The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. Sponsored by Raiden Solicitors. Award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
Hello and a very warm welcome to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6. So we're live in the studio and delighted that you're listening in this evening. Please stay tuned because we've a fabulous show coming up this evening. So first up, we're going to talk to Antonia Smith. So you know that lovely bookshop that's halfway up Hollywell Hill in St Albans? Well, we're going to be talking to Antonia Smith from Books on the Hill about the book, about the shop, how things are going, and very importantly, what they've got coming up this Christmas. And then we're going to dedicate the rest of the show to the Duke of Edinburgh Award. So any parents out there that are like me and who don't have a clue what it's all about, I think we can safely say by the end of the show, you'll be an awful lot wiser. So during the show, we're going to speak to Archie and Luke, who are doing their bronze Duke of Edinburgh. They're going to tell us how it's going so far. And then we're going to speak to Eliza, who is in the process of doing her gold award. And we'll also be speaking to Rani, who has just completed her gold award. So really both ends of the spectrum, bronze to start off with and gold and even finished. So stay tuned, stay with us this evening, and we're looking forward to talking to Antonia in just a second. Antonia, thanks a million for joining us on The Parents Show.
No, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
So tell us about Books on the Hill. I know your story. I love your story. And but for those of our listeners who don't know about Books on the Hill, tell us how you got here.
Yeah, so it was my mum who was given the opportunity to buy a bookshop down in Cornwall. And she asked me to go with her, and my siblings and I refused. We were like, Cornwall, we love it for a holiday, but it's a wee bit far for us to go. So we looked a bit closer to home, and this amazing space became available on Hollywell Hill, which we actually nearly lost. We had another company trying to get it, but we won it in the end. And we opened this haven for the book community to come enjoy books of all different genres and age ranges. And since then, we've also opened a cafe upstairs, which is open Thursday through to Sunday. So yes, we might be on the hill, but it's a great place to stop for a cup of coffee on your route into town.
If you can't make it all the way to the top of the hill.
It is a bit of a steep walk, especially if it's wet weather, but well worth the visit.
It is a beautiful shop. It's got so much atmosphere and it's so beautifully done out. Does it hold a special place for you and your family?
Oh, definitely. I mean, my mum was the interior designer. Some of the pieces, I joke, because they used to be from her living room. So the dogs that used to adorn her fireplace now watch us from the curiosity cabinet. But it was a real kind of, it's been a real curation with our team. So all the books on our shelves, the whole team get a choice in what we have in store, which makes us unique because we don't just choose the latest publication, say. We have a whole host of books that we personally feel and adore and feel they are worthwhile reads instead of them just being the latest release that's on the list. A few of those are very worthwhile too, and we certainly have those also. But yeah, it's a real amalgamation of team and just passion, really.
You sense that as well when you come into the bookstore. Like your team are so eager to help you find the book you want. But it's not like a conventional bookshop, is it really?
No, we wanted it to be a space for the community to come to, feel safe. We have so many, I think we can all say after these last few years, everyone's had an issue in their life, whether it's personally, work, professionally, any sort of aspect of life, where actually books can be that source of medicine in a way. They can be a real escapism into either a fantasy world or increasing your knowledge on a hard subject matter. And we have so many people that walk through our door that just say, help. And that's what we're there for. And, you know, obviously with the festive season, a lot of the questions we're being asked is, help, I don't have a reader. How can I make them a reader? And it's one of our favourite questions because there's so many ways to get into reading. My husband came to reading very late in his late 20s and was never pushed to read. He has now been to crime author events. He now gets signed books and he is now reading. And it's amazing to see, no matter what age, whether they're a young child, you know, in middle school or even in university or as an adult, there's a book out there for them. Not all books are the conventional classics that sometimes the joy is killed in school and you lose that passion. There are so many different parts to books, and you know, there's amazing publications coming out now that I wish I'd had as a child, and you know, still live my childhood dreams through them, which is, you know, amazing that books can still have that joy. And they're the best Christmas present to give, because we have so many books there that you give as a gift, you get them back. You know, people love to share a book, especially if it's one that you really enjoy. And I think that's the beauty, that, you know, they age better than a fine wine, because you can carry on enjoying them way past the year that you bought. And I think that's the beauty of it, really.
I've got to ask you this question now. And do you have a favourite book in the shop, or do you have a kind of a genre that you really love to read?
Well, I'm a bit of an enigma when it comes to reading. So I did a master's degree in archaeology and solely read nonfiction for a very, very long time. But I have just finished a fiction book that was recommended by a customer called Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. Now, it's a book that, for me, I really kind of hone towards, because the main character has lost her husband to cancer, and I have two in-laws going through that at the moment, and she's lost a son, something else I can relate to. And it was such an interesting book because it wasn't sad, despite those subject matters. It was the weirdest book I think I've read this year, the only book that's made me physically cry. But it's so beautiful, about an old woman called Tove who has a relationship essentially with this octopus in the aquarium. And it's an amazing friendship that the pair of them, through the book, you kind of see this relationship build where they actually needed each other in certain ways, in terms of this naughty octopus escapes his tank and collects things. And he helps solve the mystery of what happened to her son. And it's so bizarre and nothing you would expect. And we actually just finished it as a book club book for the shop as well. And the feedback was, wow, what an incredibly written book. And I feel you can never, ever have a favourite book, because there's always going to be another book around the corner that will shock you, that will give you so much informative information, that will bring you joy, sadness, education. And I feel that's what the beauty of this industry is for us as booksellers, is we can't wait for the next one, because no matter how much we've enjoyed a previous one, I'm loving Shakespeare, Judy Dench's Shakespeare, and it's fabulously written. But again, there's another book there, and there's another book, and I could never, ever choose one favourite. But that is my current recent read that I've thoroughly enjoyed.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's fantastic to hear. And actually, it kind of makes sense. How can you, when you've been exposed to so many wonderful books, how could you pick one? But, you know, so what's popular at the moment? Do you find people come and buy old secondhand classics as gifts, or do you find people come in and they want what's on the top 10 bestseller list?
We get a range. I mean, our in-store community, certainly, we have people come in with their newspapers from FT and go, I need these five books that they've been discussing. You're like, yep, certainly, we've got them here. There you go. One of which was obviously The Coming Wave by Mustafa Suleiman, which is all about this AI, you know, taking over the world, essentially. You know, they're going to be in our jobs, they're in our phones, they're everywhere. And you know, it's quite daunting, actually, but also exciting. But we are not prepared. And it's an incredibly fascinating book in terms of technology. But then you've got the other side where you've got, you know, what you are looking for is in the library. And it's a fantastic book by Michiko Aoyama. And it's a Japanese translation all about the healing power of books. And you find that through five short stories. So you do get a real range in the shop of people coming for the well-known and the not-so-well-known. But I think everyone has a different purpose in mind. Everyone has a different family member in mind. One big shift that we're seeing this year is that element of, I want something joyful and uplifting. And I think that really resonates with us as a team, because it has been a tough year, you know, across the spectrum. And I think finding those niche books that give you that joy, that give you that investment, because books are an investment in yourself, whether you're buying as a present or buying for yourself. You know, it is a real good mental health push. And I think that's the beauty of it. There's so much out there. I'm aware we're on the parent show, so I should probably mention a children's book as well. So one that I'm very biased because it does feature an archaeologist, but it's Miss Mary Kate's Guide to Monsters by Karen Foxley. My bookseller, Amy, she chose us for her Young Readers Book Club, which was aimed at 5 to 12 years. And it's an incredible book about a daughter going with her archaeologist mother to go investigate some bones near a well. And it's a whole myth shrouded around that, and the townspeople are very scared of this mythological creature. And it's an incredible adventure story mixed in with this passion for history and this kind of culture around the town, and it's an incredible adventure for young readers. So that one's aimed at 9 to 12s, but yeah, it's an incredible book.
Brilliant. Oh gosh, I'm getting just excited listening to you describe them. And with Christmas is just around the corner, we'll hit December very soon, next week. So is it a busy time? Did you have a Black Friday weekend event?
No, we don't get involved in that. The aspect that we deal with in terms of Black Friday is we do something called a pay it forward with books. So people have the opportunity to buy a book, like a specific title that they love, a genre that they love, and they can buy a voucher to give to someone in the future, someone they'll never meet. They'll never see that joy, but they know it will make a difference. And this has been amazing for the community on books that can be affordable. And it's something we run all year, so we don't just do it on Black Friday. But yeah, as soon as our tree goes up, we are always looking to ensure that we've got the right stock, the best things on the table, and, you know, what we feel the community really adore and need. And it's, yeah, books are a very different industry with all that. But I think with Christmas, you can't go wrong with some of the classics. And yeah, we've always doing events. So we've got a storytelling happening next the 3rd of December, so next Sunday. And we're reading from Narnia, which is in twinning with the theatre down the road, who are doing it obviously as their pantomime this year down at the Albany, the Abbey Theatre. And it's, yeah, it'll be a lovely storytelling from there, doing a letter to Santa that the children can post in store. And yeah, a great way to tie in kind of that festivity in store.
Gorgeous. What other events have you got coming up this Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, we've got we're doing in partnership with Vanessa a nature writing workshop, which focuses on helping individuals with their writing process by looking at elements in the natural world. So these can be things such as, for the festive one, looking at like holly, those natural things that you find around us that can inspire that creative work. And then my personal favourite is our festive quiz, which I will be hosting. And it's not just literary based, so it's fun for the whole family. We have music rounds where we'll be playing Christmas songs. There will be books, film, trivia, a whole shebang of questions, and it's a great way to enjoy it. You get a glass of Nosecco, or if you prefer alcohol, you can bring your own. We'll supply the glasses. So it's a real good feel-good moment. And yeah, there's lots of prizes to be won. And just a great way to start the festive season. And that's on Saturday, the 9th of December. So we've got loads of that coming up this side of Christmas. But I know a lot of people look for the new year as well. And we've got our writing workshop with Claire Hobber starting again. And something new as well that we only started recently is a bibliotherapy course as well with Nicola Moody. So there's always lots of things going on there for people in terms of kind of doing events for themselves around books.
And they're very different. Like, there's such a wide variety of different events. So tell me, how can our listeners keep up with what's going on? Because you whatever your events are, for children, they're for teens, yeah, they're for adults, seniors, you name it.
Well, we're here for our community. Our community is such a diverse, and we have so many ages coming in. We have newborns coming in ready to read. It's fantastic. But yeah, the best way to keep in touch is through our website, on our newsletter, our social media. I will admit I'm not great on the old Twitter, aka X now, but I am brilliant on the Instagram. So if you're following us on those different channels, you keep up to date in situ. You'll see that tonight on our stories we have put that we're on Mix 92.6, so it's fabulous. But yeah, essentially on our website, you can sign up to the newsletter, and it's books-on-the-hill.co.uk.
Yeah, brilliant. That's how I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I need to get you on the show. The newsletter popped into my inbox and I was like, yeah, we have got to have a chat with Antoni and see what's going on. So just to wrap up quickly, because running out of time. There's too much to talk about. Tell us your favourite Christmas book.
Well, it has to be The Polar Express by Chris Van Allsburg. Reason being was this was the book that I chose for my younger siblings. They're a wee bit younger than me. And I would get them the book each year and we would sit down and read it. And whilst they were reading it, we would have gone to the corner shop and bought a chocolate bar. And as we were reading it, I would make them hot chocolate from their favourite chocolate bars. And we would sit there with our mugs of hot chocolate reading the story. And we do it every year. And it's, you know, they're now 19 and 22. And I love it. It's an amazing tradition that we've got going on. And it's, you know, something that means a lot. And it's a lot of reminiscence. You know, it came out in 1985, so before I was born, just. And it's a modern classic. It's such a beautiful story and something that I think even today parents can still adore with their children. The illustrations are beautiful and it's just such a feel good without feeling like too much of a classic. I mean, I do love Christmas Carol Dickens, yeah. I have to say. One of my favourite Dickens. But yeah, Polar Express, you can't go wrong.
Number one. Great stuff. Listen, thanks so much for joining us, Antonia, and best luck with the festive season.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and festive greetings to everyone listening. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye bye. Now we'll just take a quick break, and after the break my co-presenter Andrea is going to be joining us and she'll be talking to Luke and Archie about their D of E bronze experience. Stay tuned.
Thank you for joining us on Half Witches Mix 92.6. My name is Andrea Nicolai and I'm thrilled to be part of the team at the Parent Show. Our second topic for tonight's show, it will be about Duke of Edinburgh. And I have here with me two amazing guests, that is Archie and Luke, and they will help us understand more about it, all from their point of view. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm so happy to have you here. Okay, so I will start with, you know, a basic question just so we can find out step by step, how did you find this journey? Because we're talking about bronze stage. Can you explain what Duke of Edinburgh scheme is?
So it's effectively a way to kind of introduce yourself to new skills and abilities. There's a physical, volunteering and skill that you have to do, and at the end there's a two-day expedition where you go into, I think, the hills and camp out and try to get to the checkpoint.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. Tell us about your Duke of Edinburgh journey so far. What are you doing? How is it going? Are you excited about it?
Well, I've been finding it really interesting because there's a lot of things to do, like activities, and like at the moment I'm learning how to touch type, which is really interesting because like I'm learning new things, and like for my physical, you know, I'm going to the gym with Archie and like we're learning how to use weights and how to like improve our bodies, and yeah, I find it really fun.
Yeah, I do agree with that, because I think that before this, at a certain age, you don't think about the physical part of things and how you develop physically. You do, you know, you do PE and everything else, but I think this is a different level of being challenged, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't really be exercising this much ordinarily.
But do you feel like any sort of improvement from this point of view?
Yeah, I'd say we're both fitter than when we started.
Okay, yeah, which everyone wants to head that that direction. Is there a funny or unexpected story that you would like to share with us?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't really call it funny, but I don't know. It's nice just hearing like other people's stories, like in the gym, say we're all talking to each other and like, you know, there's eventful stories there and like funny stories there.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Because you find yourself probably making new friendships as well, aren't you? As you kind of meet new people on this journey.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, there's 9 of us and we've all come pretty close together and, like, learn about other people and how they think and feel and, you know, it's nice to socialise with other people as well.
Isn't it making socialising a bit better in your lives by doing this as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a lot of different people that we're interacting with, and they are different because, you know, there's the people who are running the gyms and there's the people who are running your cello lessons, you know, and they're quite different most of the time.
Very true. Well, what do you think is the challenge, the biggest challenge so far? And I'm not talking just physically, but, you know, if you think about everything that you have to do, all the levels.
Well, I think the expedition's probably going to be the hardest part of it. I know it's fairly rough wake-up times for it, especially. I think you're hiking at 5:30 a.m. sometimes, which, you know, that's probably going to be the most difficult aspect.
Have you already been given like a preview of what will happen, or have you been explained of how roughly how an expedition will go like?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a meeting with the teachers and like we've had a talk with the parents and like previous DOV people. So yeah, they've like given us an insight to what DOV will be like.
Okay, yeah, because I know that everyone who's organizing this, they must. It's not like a briefing. It's basically explaining everything that will happen on the way. And what do you think? Because we spoke with Ms. Dickinson from Beaumont about it, and she said that it goes ahead no matter what the weather will be like. What do you think on this idea? Are you excited or scared about it?
I think it's probably for the best, to be honest. I wouldn't want to not go on the expedition just because of some rain or something. You know, it would be quite big waste if we just decided it's a bit too wet for us to go out. I think that would be quite disappointing.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to approach it. As I always say, when you start something, the best way to approach it is by making sure you will finish whatever the challenge or goal or target you had in your mind, and it will only help you to grow stronger. Do you think you will want to go to the next level, which will be silver?
I mean, yeah, I would like to do that, but I don't know. I haven't started the expedition. Apparently, the expedition is the most difficult thing. So, I don't know. I'd have to see what that is like. But at the moment, yeah, I'd love to do it.
Most certainly will be challenging. But that's a good mindset right there. Very good mindset. And I think you will both do great. And the fact that you have signed up for bronze level... that says a lot about what you're willing to do in the future. Do you think this will help you in any way with what you want to achieve in life, generally speaking?
I mean, the DOV as a whole, the one of the biggest, the reason behind it largely is just it's very good to have in your CV. It's quite useful for job applications. People like to see it. And just generally, whatever you do for 3 months for bronze, 6 months for silver, and a year for gold, you're generally going to be quite good at it by the end of it, which, depending on what it is, could really benefit you later on.
So what do you think about the other, like, volunteering and the other stages that you have to cover apart from the expedition side of things?
I mean, I think I'd really enjoy it because, like, we experience new things. We, like, learn new stuff, like, skills we haven't done before. It's, like, that's why it's called a skill, yeah.
Absolutely, and I agree with you. I have to admit that I would encourage all the teenagers out there to take on board this, and that's why we're so happy to have you here, guys, because hearing everything from you just kind of encourages everyone out there, and also it gives a better idea of what is happening. So by you telling us that it was a good decision you've made, it's super. So what are you looking forward to the next steps with bronze stage? Is it more you're waiting to see the guidance? Because I assume that you do receive guidance from the organisers, isn't so?
Yeah, we're going to receive help, like, hopefully. hopefully we receive help, because I don't know, it's quite nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah, I get.
I haven't done this before.
Yeah, no, from what I know is that all the schools that organize it, they have a very good plan in place, and they try to help everyone get through the stages. And I think your school is doing that as well.
I think so. I mean, there's two teachers running it at the minute, and I think they've done it before. Like, they know what they're doing. And as well as that, I think on the actual expedition, there's assessors who are kind of guiding you along the way. They're kind of waking you up as well, and just kind of giving you a rough overview of what you're meant to be doing.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And I've been in contact with other schools, and I've had a conversation about it. And it seems like it's very nicely organised for everyone. So they ease everything in for the ones that decided to take this on board. Do you have any words of encouragement for the ones that are thinking to take on the bronze level?
I mean, I don't really see why you wouldn't, to be honest. It's 3 months, and it's really kind of only just getting you along to silver and gold. It's just something that could kind of, at this stage, it's nothing too serious, and it's a lot easier than silver and gold, and it's just generally helpful in most ways that it could be.
Thank you so much. That is true. And I think this will help the others decide whether they want to take it on board or not. So this it was Archie and Luke about bronze level in Duke of Edinburgh. So interesting, because I have friends that have children thinking of joining Duke of Edinburgh. Thank you so much, Archie and Luke. And we will be back with you with more information about Duke of Edinburgh after a short break, when my colleague Lydia will be interviewing our next guest. Thank you so much.
The Parents Show on Mix 92.6, sponsored by Raiden Solicitors, award-winning specialist family lawyers. See raidensolicitors.co.uk.
And welcome back to The Parents Show on Mix 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury, and now we're going to the next part of our Duke of Edinburgh learning session, because that's what it is for me. I'm learning so much about how the Duke of Edinburgh works, and I'm really delighted to be joined by two pros in the whole Duke of Edinburgh award experience. So Eliza Parsons and Rani Taylor are here in the studio with me. Thanks a million, girls, for joining us this evening.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
It's lovely to have you both, and I'm dying to pick your brains about this, because there's so, as parents, there's so much for us to learn about the Duke of Edinburgh. So Eliza, tell us about your journey first.
So I started in year 10, and I think the biggest difficulty with that was trying to find a volunteering place, because everywhere was so limited on like child safety laws, and so you can't find very much as a 14-year-old. But I ended up doing an online thing where I was trying to classify solar systems and different galaxies and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I learned a lot about like the different ways that scientists do that, and so it was really interesting. But more recently, I've been volunteering at a library, and I think in person is definitely better if you can.
And that's as part of your gold?
Silver and gold. And then for my other sections, I've been doing synchronized swimming for a really long time.
Wow. That's a great physical. I haven't heard of that before.
Yeah,
that's
I've
brilliant.
I've been doing that since like year six. And so I did that throughout DAV.
So that was your physical.
Yeah. And then skills, I did sewing for bronze, and I learned how to make a skirt, which was a very fun time and a really interesting opportunity. And then I did flute for the past one, and I'm doing singing lessons for this one.
Fantastic. What a lovely variety of skills and experiences. Rani, now you're seriously a pro. Like, you've done your gold,
yes.
Right? Just.
Yeah, so I've just completed gold and honestly, it was the best experience. I met so many new people and learnt so many new skills. I feel like by doing this, you kind of step outside your comfort zone to learn all the skills and the physical and the volunteering. And I think for me with this journey, it's been a bit of a difficult one having started in COVID. I had to work out how I was going to navigate through that. So I volunteered in Raindrops and Roses in town, and we had to work out how we were going to do online orders and how we were going to kind of carry out everything by following the new guidelines. I think
that must have been a steep learning curve.
Yeah, so obviously working out what COVID-19 was, how we were even going to live with it, and then working in a whole new environment, which I'd never done before, because it was kind of like my first role in actual retail kind of experience. And it has set me up to be able to be more confident with my social skills and in interviews and in school for getting other roles. So it really has helped me in the future.
And it didn't break you anyway, because you went on to do silver
yes,
and gold
yes.
as well.
So I changed after doing Raindrops and Roses. It was a lovely experience and it was great. So I ended up moving on to a local youth group that I actually did as a child. So it was really nice to go in a full circle back to help and volunteer there.
Yeah.
As it really equipped me with like so many skills with trying to talk in front of people and like leading my own sessions and dealing with like children who might not fit into mainstream schools and how to deal with their different needs and accommodating for all of that. So I think it was a big eye-opener for me about how we have to, everyone's different and we've all got to like deal with all of those.
Yeah, that sounds quite challenging but rewarding
yes,
too.
Yes, it was lovely. I think for me, I work with the praise of seeing how I've helped other people, and that was definitely an experience where I could see how much my impact had helped them to develop skills and how they've moved on. Because I've been doing it for now just a bit over 2 years, because I did that for my volunteering for silver and gold. So I've now worked with the children for quite a long period of time. So I now know them quite well and I can see where they've come from and what they're going to be and what they're developing to be. So that's been really good.
Fantastic. What about your physical? What did you take on?
So obviously, as I've said, I started my bronze in lockdown. So I did, everything was over Zoom. So I did my physical was yoga over Zoom, which was quite an interesting one to try and make sure that everyone could see what I was actually doing on the Zoom. And then for silver and gold, I did running, which is something that I still do to this day. And it's helped me a lot with obviously going through GCSEs and starting to come up with my A levels. And then for my skill, I don't do anymore, but I used to play the saxophone. So I did saxophone as my skill for bronze and silver. And then for my gold, I did touch typing, which has really helped me in sixth form and going on to university and that kind of thing. Cause a lot of it, more of it is online, and as our, like it's going, everything's starting to become online. So it's been really helpful for me to be able to get my way around computers a bit easier.
There you go, parents. Are you listening? Touch typing, that's the one to get them all doing. And so I'd love to know, what do you think? Do the levels differ that much? Is there a big difference between bronze and silver, silver to gold? What do you think, Eliza?
Well, I've not done gold yet, but I found that bronze to silver seemed like quite a natural transition. The actual like volunteering and skills and all that aspect of it, it's just longer, so you have to make a longer commitment, but there's not much change, especially if you're carrying over with the same things from the previous year. And then as with the actual expedition part of it, it's like it definitely is harder, but if you enjoy doing hiking and stuff like that, it's not like too much of a leap. I don't know how gold is. Is it much
Rani,
different?
Break it to us. How bad is gold?
It is definitely a step up from silver, I would say. Not only do we have
you still do your physical, you still do your skill, and you still do your volunteering, but we've got a whole other section added on at silver, at gold. You have to complete a residential work from home for a week, which is also obviously quite daunting for quite a lot of people, staying away with a whole, you're not meant to know anyone. So it is quite daunting to have to go away and try and do all these skills away from home. But I would say that's another place where you learn your social skills, you pick it back up, and you're kind of, it's kind of helping you for later life, where you have to, you do have to become more independent, and you do have to like live with new people you've never met before, and how you're going to navigate trying to get to know them. But with the expedition, I would say it is a lot harder, but it's definitely doable. I would definitely say everyone's really supportive of you to do it, because you climbing up a mountain, you're really struggling, but everyone's in the same boat, everyone's struggling, and everyone knows they've had, like, everyone's going to have different high and low points. So I definitely say that it is hard, but it's definitely, everyone's capable of doing it if you just put your mind to it. Yeah.
That's great. Perfect. That's great words of encouragement. So, I mean, the thing is, if it was too easy, what would be the point? You need to have a sense of achievement out of it, don't you?
Yeah.
And Eliza, for you so far, what's been the most challenging part of your DV journey, do you think?
I think it was during the actual expeditions, and probably trying to communicate and work together as a team in your groups, because you're with a bunch of people who you might not have talked to you that much before. It's like all new to you. You're making these new friendships, new relationships. And so you don't really know how to communicate with them as much. Different people have different needs. Like maybe some people need encouragement and other people just want to get on with it. And so when you have, like, it can be sometimes a bit irritating, and after a while you might get on each other's nerves a bit, but you do get over that and you stay friends.
Well, that's part of the bonding, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar to you too, Rani?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's a lot of people who do gold that you might have never spoken to before. So it's really nice to actually connect with them and realise how much you do actually have in common with people. And you do fall out. That's, as you say, all part of it. And you do both your expeditions, practice and qualifying with the same people. So you do learn to like them in the end. Whether you like them at the beginning, that's debatable. But you do learn to like them, and you do know what gets on each other's nerves. And you kind of work around that as you go through the process of doing it together.
Great life lessons. Right, because you need each other, right? So you've got to get on, and having to kind of push through differences to get back on track.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say that, like, you realise everyone's like strong points. Like, everyone's not going to have all the skill set you need, and I feel you do have to work together to create a full skill set to be able to complete the challenges. Because if we all did bicker and we all said we were good at everything, which we're definitely all not good at everything, we would not have got to the end and would not have completed it. You sometimes just have to realise when to step back, when to take the lead. And I think that's a really key life lesson of knowing, you know what, I do really enjoy doing this, but I might not be the best fit for this situation, but I might be a better fit in another.
Great. Eliza, you're nodding, right?
Yeah, I can agree with that. So some members of my team have previously been like on the map and not been very good at the map reading aspect and got us all lost.
I think that'd be me.
So learning where your strong points lie is definitely a key part of what you learn from DOV, and you can then apply it throughout. Often through other things, maybe not as much with the map reading aspect.
So is map reading generally a bit of a crucial skill that maybe not everybody has?
Yeah. And I would say I would say that you generally do have like a strong map reader in the group. And although it's good to take control and try and map read. I would say when you're just trying to get to a destination, trying to map read is not the best option. I was never very good at it. I think as I got through the stages and levels, you do learn, you pick up, oh, this is that. And when you have someone who knows how to map read, they've 9 times out of 10, they're very lovely and they will try and teach you, but sometimes they just want to get to the destination and you're just doing it a little bit too slow. But there'll be another opportunity where they'll be too slow and you just need to take control.
Brilliant, brilliant. So I was talking to Antonia from Books on the Hill before we went on air, and she was saying her top tip was start wearing your boots now. She said, yeah. Like, don't wait for a month beforehand. So you agree?
Yeah.
So for bronze, I had a set of hiking boots, which I'd worn all the time. And so they were really comfortable and they were great. And then about half a year before silver, they started leaking. And so obviously can't take them with me. So I got new boots. But for the whole time through silver, my feet were aching and I had blisters. And so, yeah, definitely do the boots ahead of time.
Do the boots.
Yeah.
Rani, did that happen to you?
So my feet luckily have not changed size and my boots have been really good actually. And I would say definitely making sure that you wear them ahead of time, even if it's walking around the house, if you've got a pet, well, a dog, to go on dog walks with them, or just walking up and down the road, definitely, because you don't want that being hurting. You're going to be aching already from the amount of walking and the amount of load you're going to have to carry. You don't want your feet aching as well. Like, you don't want an added pressure.
Certainly not, no. So I'd love to know, I mean, this would be so valuable for other young people and parents listening. What are your top tips for people who are thinking about doing bronze or thinking about going on to silver or thinking about doing gold? Rani, let's start with you.
So my number one top tip would probably be don't pack heavy. Like, I did it for every single level and it was not my smartest move, because at the end of the day, you do have to carry it. There's no minibus driving behind you and you do have to carry it the whole way up the hike. So I would say pack heavy, but also if you're not sure whether you want to do it, I'd definitely say it's something, just go for it, because it is kind of a life-changing opportunity. You learn so many things with it and you do get outside your comfort zone and you do connect with people that you never thought you actually would, just by the nature of school and lessons. And I would say just do it. I think it's a really good opportunity and everyone should have a chance to take it.
Brilliant, thanks Rani. Eliza?
Not as much in the decision aspect, but when you're actually doing it, especially on the hike, don't panic. You can get lost. That's okay. The assessors know that, like, we're not perfect map readers all the time and, like, different things happen. Sometimes it might be, like, you were in a windy situation, yep, and you had to turn back.
Yeah.
Like, things happen. Don't stress about it too much. The assessors are nice. They'll usually be fine with everything.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, there's no need to panic. And honestly, you learn to realise that you kind of do have to go with the flow when walking. Stuff won't go the way you hoped it to. So as Eliza mentioned, we were trying to walk up Pennyfan and it was really, really windy. And we had to make a decision as a group to turn away because it was just getting too dangerous. And as much as you want to go up, you do realise you've got to put your safety first, and you can come and walk up at another day if you really, really want to. But yeah, I would say that don't panic. There will be times where stuff won't go the way you planned. You'll take a wrong direction. You do a massive detour, have to walk ages, but it will all work out in the end. Assessors know this is going to happen.
So the wind was so bad you had to turn back.
Yes.
And was it the right decision?
Yes, I think it was. The group that actually made it up to the top ended up coming in about 40 minutes after us. So they had been walking a much longer, and they set out before us. So they were walking a much longer day. And I think safety wise, it wouldn't have been safe to carry on walking with the, like, wind and the rain and everything.
Great stuff. And is Eliza, were you scared at any point at anything, any part of the DV experience? Were you ever nervous? Scared.
So at bronze, the reason I'm saying don't panic is because at bronze there was a part where we were panicking, because on our first day went amazingly, but our second day we got really, really lost. We managed to get back on track, but it was like 3 hours later than we had originally intended. It was awful. I thought we were all going to fail. And then the assessors were really nice. And they were like, okay, you've got to walk to this checkpoint about halfway through the route. We know that you're trying. We know that you really want to do this. And so if you walk there, we'll pick you up and we'll take you back and we'll say you've passed. And so we passed, just. but yeah, that was, I think, the scariest part. But besides that, so far I've not been in any really bad situations. Nothing terrible's happened. So hopefully gold goes okay.
Yeah, we'll be keeping our fingers crossed for you, Eliza. So listen, thank you both so much for coming in and giving us all your top tips for the D of E. Thanks, Rani, and thanks, Eliza.
Thank you.
So we've come to the end of the Parents Show for this week. Thank you so much to all our guests, to Rani, Eliza, Archie, Luke, and of course, Antonia from Books on the Hill. Have a lovely evening and tune in next week.